Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Local journalism across the country is in crisis. The business models and operations that once worked do not work any longer. Hedge funds have bought up many papers and turned them upside down in search of the last pennies in the piggy bank. Small digital upstarts haven't been able to fill the space left by the big daily newspapers. But perhaps that's changing. Lookout Santa Cruz, founded in 2020, won this year's Pulitzer Prize for breaking news reporting. We'll talk with the staff about their award-winning coverage and what's working in local news. That's coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Of the different kinds of news, it is perhaps breaking news that tests the mettle of a journalism outfit the most deeply. By nature, breaking news coverage is responsive and unplanned. Anybody can cover a breaking news event, but the people who are usually the best have a deep layer of local knowledge and sourcing that allows them to get the best information in a chaotic time. All of which makes Lookout Santa Cruz's Pulitzer Prize win this week even more impressive. In a category that's usually dominated by big metro dailies, the digital startup triumphed for coverage of that wild set of atmospheric rivers that hit our region in early 2023, which in Santa Cruz did hundreds of millions of dollars of damage. We're joined this morning by the, I'm sure, happy founder and staffers of Lookout Santa Cruz, Ken Doctor, CEO and founder of the outfit. He also writes regularly for Harvard's Nieman Journalism Lab. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you for inviting us.
Also joined by Tamsin McMahon, managing editor of Lookout Santa Cruz. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Christopher Neely, a correspondent with Lookout Santa Cruz. Welcome.
Yeah, back. Great to be here. Thanks.
Ken, tell me a little bit about the newsroom before the announcement. I mean, were you expecting this? Did you have any inkling that you might really have a chance to win?
What's the old Monty Python line? Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. you can't expect anything like this. But as you pointed out in the intro, you know, the breaking news award is you're basically responding to crisis, and crisis by nature is you don't expect it. You know, it's going to be small, it could be large. You know, these nine atmospheric storms kept on hitting. And we said, no, not another one. But we were out there for more than a once in intensively 12-hour days. Yeah. I think when I look back at it now and, you know, the quick reflections that we have done, we were ready. We had the right group of people, very collaborative. We have a collaborative newsroom. And although we've been called tiny in some of the stories that are written, we've got 10 people in the newsroom, which per capita in a county of 267,000 is one of the highest in the country. So we were ready by skills. It's a very skilled newsroom from 3 years to 30 years experience. And Tamsin, our managing editor on this call, and Will McCahill, the copy editor and production editor, each have more than 20 years editing experience. And people forget the editing here. So we were ready. And I think that's the key to it, to have a robust newsroom that is ready to meet the moment.
Tamsin, I mean, I saw the photo of the newsroom as you all were reacting, but what would it feel like for you? Particularly, you know, having gone to a digital startup from a paper, you know, what did it feel like to win?
It was amazing. I got a call from the Pulitzers on the Sunday before, and I just had to hold this in. You know, I wanted to tell everyone together. So we gathered this morning news meeting, and it was, to me, to have to hold that in for 24 hours and put it out there.
Well, and just media being what it is, I'm sure all the journalists are like, are we being laid off?
I had to say everyone has to come in, but it's good news. I had to specify it was not a bad news situation. But just to watch it go out into the newsroom and see people absorb it and see the reactions and see the emotions. I mean, you know, there were tears. It was overwhelming. So it was beyond gratifying for me to be able to share that with staff.
That's great. You know, Ken, we in a previous show, we have covered the newspaper down there and its takeover by Alden, the big hedge fund that's been rolling up a bunch of newspapers. For folks who aren't familiar with the local scene down there, what is the media landscape in Santa Cruz right now?
So right now, there's us with the largest newsroom in the county. It was the biggest as soon as we launched, really. Santa Cruz Sentinel, still publishing, and about, I don't know, somewhere between four and six people. No physical office. People complain about the lateness of it, still read as a paper by especially older people. There is Good Times, an alternative weekly, kind of a classic one.
Yeah.
It does, you know, a couple of significant stories a week and a few updates and really good arts and entertainment. And there isn't a lot else. The public radio station is in Monterey, and we actually work with them, and they do good work, KAZU. TV stations are both in Monterey County. So automatically, we became a primary news source for much of the community. And it is just amazing that it can happen. But what we have learned, and since I think the last time we talked, is it can happen, and it can happen quickly, where people come to trust you if you do trustworthy reporting.
Yeah. Talk to me about the actual format of a subscription to, you know, Lookout Santa Cruz. I mean, is it basically you're opting in to your like mobile alerts and email newsletters?
So it's we call it membership because it's a very close relationship between us and our.
We've heard of it around here. Yeah.
Yes. It is a public radio model. Yes. In a lot of ways. And it's really a hybrid model. So, you know, the term paywall has been out there for, you know, a dozen, 15 years now. And we have members who pay for complete access, usually up to $187 a year. That gets them complete access to everything that we publish. But there are lots of ways to get partial access. Chris Neely, who's on this call, does a weekly politics public policy newsletter. Seven newsletters, they're all free, limited free access. We provide access to 6,000 school children. So it's a hybrid model where membership is important to us, but just as in public radio, advertising is actually our number one source of revenue. And we want to make sure we have enough readers that those advertisers are getting enough reach. So that's a really traditional publishing model. It is advertising circulation.
Yeah. Well, for us, 60% is membership, just for what it's worth. But there, of course, are other things in the mix. And we'll talk about the Newsonomics like a little bit more, your term. I do want to go to Tamsin and Chris Neely, though, here for a minute to talk about the coverage that you won for. Tamsin, maybe you want to start just with the overarching, you know, thrust of this coverage. And then, Chris, you can talk about jumping in on the story.
Yeah. So, I mean, we started this, it was New Year's Eve day of 2022 when the first rains hit, and I was at home and, you know, we knew rain was coming, but it was just became clear really quickly just how bad the rainstorm was going to be. And started to get alerts saying, you know, there's this flooding of these creeks and there's, you know, there's evacuation orders of communities, there was a fatality. And just very quickly, you know, we realized like, this is not a typical storm. So started calling staff, which is always tough on, you know, New Year's Eve. So it was myself and Kevin, our photographer, who kind of did the first coverage. And then, you know, you take a step back and you realize that like, there's more storms coming, that we're in the middle of this huge event that isn't just a one day ordeal. And so the staff, you know, started to come in pretty quickly and jump on board and, you know, run out and go to every corner of this community. The damage was really extensive all over the place. It wasn't just a breaking news event happening in one part of the county. It was everywhere. And so our coverage was, I think, a mix of, you know, really quick breaking news coverage. So we had a live blog that we started. We had social media. We had email alerts we were sending out. We had text messages we were sending to people, which I realized after the fact, you know, people were sending us notes via text saying, like, we don't have internet because our power is out. We're only getting your news via these text messages.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know,
wait, Tamsin, can I ask you this? Did you all have a, like a crisis plan? You know, I used to know newspaper people who, if there is an earthquake in the Bay Area, there's like A, B, C, these things are going to happen, you know, or was this really kind of like on the fly developing it as you went?
It was on the fly. Not going to lie about that. I'd been at Lookout for 2 months. So it was like figuring out how to
welcome. Yeah.
On the fly. Yeah, right. Yeah. We built it as we were going along. So no, I'm sure in hindsight, it looks like we had a wonderful plan, but no, we with a lot of improvisation.
Wow. That's great. Christopher, how'd you get involved in it?
Yeah. I mean, I was in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve and then driving back up to Santa Cruz, working from the car, just getting messages from Tamsin that, yeah, we're going to need some sort of preview. We're going to need to watch these storms. But yeah, I just remember, like, you know, Santa Cruz County is really set up in a way that the storm hit really differently in all parts of the county. I mean, there was lower income senior communities that were flooded out in South County. In Mid County, I mean, we had the Capitola Wharf just snap in half. And I mean, there was so much damage to the beachfront homes over there. And then up in North County, where the mountains are, I mean, there was days long power outages, landslides, trees falling on houses. And it just felt like it was a crisis everywhere, but like a different crisis, but from the same storms. It just felt very unrelenting. And then, you know, January 4th came and, you know, another storm, and then, you know, it was another storm, and affecting all these parts of the county differently. And we just had, or having people in everywhere just spread out across the county. And yeah, just,
yeah, that was my 12
hour day. Yeah.
You know, was it, did you basically like cut the map up like political canvassers, or did you go by kind of like community orientation? Like how'd you do it, Tamsin?
I think it was a mix. We had, it depended on where people lived. So, you know, Wallace Bain, who's our arts writer, he lives down in the south, toward the southern end of the county. He covered that. Mark Conley, I think, was in Capitola, so he covered that area. Mm-hmm. But it also depended, you know, a few reporters, including Chris went into the mountains. So, you know, we sent people where we knew there was serious damage or major flooding. So it was a mix of sort of where people lived, and people were going out on their own and, you know, without us saying like, hey, you go here. They would just kind of call me and say, hey, I'm down here and this is what's going on. So it was kind of a mix of like where people lived, where they knew the vulnerable spots were, and then where we understood, you know, the largest damage to be.
Yeah. We're talking with the staff of Lookout Santa Cruz, a digital startup founded in 2020, just won the Pulitzer Prize in breaking news, joined by managing editor Tamsin McMahon, correspondent Christopher Neely, and CEO and founder Ken Doctor. We'd love to hear from you. I mean, we know this is a time of tremendous change in local news. Of course, if you're listening right now, you are getting local news from KQED. But where else do you get local news coverage? What holes do you see in local news? Or maybe you're already a reader and subscriber of Lookout Santa Cruz. We'd love to hear from you about how you use this coverage. You can email us forum@kqed.org. You can find us on all of our different social channels, including the community over on Discord. You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. Where are you getting your local news? How are you handling finding information about your community? The number again, 866-733-6786. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more right after the break.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking with the staff of Lookout Santa Cruz, just won the Pulitzer Prize in breaking news for their storm coverage of that incredible run of atmospheric rivers we had back in early 2023. Joined by CEO and founder Ken Doctor, managing editor Tamsin McMahon, and correspondent Chris Neely. And we'll, of course, get to some of your calls and comments later. Ken, I wanted to talk with you first about kind of like the big picture setup here for local journalism. I mean, in your background, you had been an executive at, you know, newspaper chains and kind of understood this business to be, is collapse too strong a word? Came to a point in your career where you said like, oh man, this is over. Like newspapers are not going to be what they once were. Talk to us a little bit about the evolution from, you know, newspaper executive Ken Doctor to digital startup Ken Doctor.
No, a collapse might be too mild a word. I mean, it is breathtaking. This isn't once in a generation. This is just astounding.
This is it, right? This is the one time.
It's like 200 years of newspapering, and then in about 10 years, it is like 80% gone. By revenue, revenue is literally 80% gone. The cuts in journalists was 59,000 about 30 years ago. Nobody even counts anymore, but by my extrapolation, it may be 15,000. And the country's grown by, 50 million people. So it is a combination of things. People like to blame Google and Facebook. But what they figured out how to do, I mean, digital has changed, the entire Bay Area, everybody's personal lives every moment. They figured out a better way to sell advertising. This is in addition to search and maps and social, all the things that they provide, they found a better way to sell stuff. And this eviscerated what was pretty much a monopoly industry. That if you had a newspaper, there used to be a bunch of newspapers. San Francisco used to have five or six of them. But after World War II, kind of went down to one. And that monopoly made newspapers and newspaper owners fat and happy. And it was really hard for them to adapt. So all this digital change happens. And then the great act was 2009, the Great Recession, and that took another 20% out of the trade. And that's when the financial people entered. Alden Global Capital, you mentioned the Sentinel and many of the papers around the Bay Area and Los Angeles. They and three other companies really control 50% of newspaper circulation. And they're all financially driven. Yeah. So that's all been happening. There have been, and I know you've had on your program, there's a lot of startups, incredibly mission-driven people, some doing great journalism. Mostly they are small. And there are a few of us and an increasing number of us. And I would also point to what the city side people have done in Berkeley and Oakland and soon in Richmond, who say, well, you need to really replace the daily newspaper. That it isn't just a matter of doing some spot reporting and saying, let's do some investigative work. You need to become a primary news source in the way that newspapers work. And that's what we are really trying to do. And we have colleagues around the country that are doing the same thing.
It's such an interesting point, right? Because many of the digital startups have chosen to focus on a particular community or a particular means of delivering the news because that's what they could get philanthropic funding for. So they've been nimble, they've been tiny, they've been responsive, they've been innovative. But papers had scale, gravitas, impact. And that has not been replaced very often. I mean, that's why we got so excited about your story here, because it kind of gets at some of what needs to happen in this business, right?
Absolutely. And I had a model, I've been working on it 5 years now. I had a model. The model is good. Lots of tweaks as we go forward. And capital is needed so you can hire enough of skilled people. That's really important here. And then it's the people. So it goes back to your first question. How ready were you? Well, we were as ready as we could be, I guess. But it was the skill in that newsroom of knowing how to do journalism that made the difference and having enough people. And this is what has been lacking. And this is what I've been advocating for. And it works in Santa Cruz. I'm actually at Lot A. Gonna close the door here. Lot A at SJC Airport on my way to Eugene, Oregon, where we're going to launch a second lookout, and we're looking at those beyond there. So, you know, we have to look at all those things, and you used the word scale. That's hugely important, and you don't hear that enough, that you need to have a community-wide information source that is rigorously nonpartisan to be able to earn the trust of a community, but you can in a relatively short time.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, here at KQED, we feel like we play an important role for this, but it's kind of different. One broadcast and digital place over nine counties versus what a news organization inside a city can do, as you're saying, just like the per capita kind of investment. But it's always been an ecosystem, right? With broadcast players and papers and, of course, social media, which we're going to get to in 1 second. But because you are the Newsonomics guy, I do want to understand, you're going to launch another lookout in another college town. At least as I read Eugene. what I think we want to know is kind of financially, how sustainable is this? Like, do you need philanthropic funding for this? As we've heard from many of the big philanthropies who are trying to gather a bunch of money for local news, they say, you know, the model is so broken that we have to step in to fill the gap here. Or do you feel like you've found a public benefit corporation, which is what Lookout Santa Cruz is, for-profit model that works?
So the answer is there's a yes and no in there. So we use philanthropy. I raised $2.4 million initially for Santa Cruz, raising $4 million for Eugene Springfield. Philanthropy is great as capital and as seed, essentially, to use our term in the Valley, and supplement. So our whole model, and the model of the Memphian we're close to in Tennessee and Colorado Sun and Baltimore Banner, is philanthropy is still part of our model. It is for the capital, but it's got to be a minority of the revenue as fast as you can get there, and needs to decline over time so you're not dependent on it. Hmm. So that's the difference, I think, for us. We are majority earned revenue, and that is really important, and we intend to get it up to completely earned revenue. But those philanthropy helps us build out this large staff, so that we could get the earned revenue. This is kind of business 101. So we know the model works. We do know, you referenced a college town. It's kind of easy to see people say, where are you going to go? I said, well, the best markets are college towns, which have affluent and educated people and have a chain newspaper that has been diminished. But I want to see this work in other places, and especially in purple states. I'd like to see this tried. And again, being rigorously nonpartisan is really important. If you believe that people will make the right decisions in their community, given a welter of really good information, that's what we're about.
So let's drill down a tiny bit on what you mean by nonpartisan here. So do you run, for example, like op-eds or anything like that?
We have an opinion page headed by Jody Beal, who's a very experienced editor, three times a week, op-eds, letters to the editor. We did endorsements in both of the last elections, and we clearly separated out the endorsements from the reporting coverage, of course. But that community opinion space is getting livelier and livelier. We've just done it for 2 years. Yeah. So that's
curious, though. Why not toss that out? You know, I feel like that is where so many of the papers have gotten into trouble, is like, it's no longer this paper package that says like, hey, this part over here is opinion. Instead, it's just all going out through the digital channels that you have. And it feels like, do you have to replicate that part?
No, you don't have to. I think it was the right decision to do it. And also, it's kind of being ratified. But what I hear, my seventh trip to Eugene, and so I'm going to have to leave about 10 minutes early, but you'll be in capable hands of Tim Stimson and Chris. One of the major things, Alexis, I have heard in Eugene is, are you going to have an opinion page? Are you going to do this? Are you going to have ways for the community to weigh in? People want this, and we have not seen, and you know, it's Santa Cruz. This is Santa Cruz. It's kind of left and farther left. 15% Republican, right? But we are respected by people on the political spectrums because we're nonpartisan, and they have not complained about, and I think they understand the distinction between opinion news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tamsin, let's return to the way that you all covered these storms. And, you know, oftentimes when we're talking about social media and journalism, we're talking about the collapse of the industry. But in this case, was it actually pretty valuable as an input to the coverage because you had people posting things about what was happening in their backyards that helped you kind of shape your coverage and get your reporters onto the field?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, both ways, right? We posted a lot of stuff on social media that got that reached the community that was not already, you know, reading us regularly. So there was that. And then we had people sending us, whether it was social media or just emailing us directly, like, you know, hey, here's the tree falling in my backyard and here's the creek that's, you know, flooding in my community. So we were able to use that for sure to help sort of send people out and paint a picture on the ground. And we also took that in and, you know, we, with permission, we kind of put out readers' own photos and their own stories for them to kind of see. So it was a bit of, you know, we had a bit of the sort of citizen participation in our journalism.
Yeah. You also have a text messaging service, and I think that's one of the things that Lookout has been noted for, talking about being like a mobile-first journalism outfit. How did you use that, and how did it play into this coverage?
Yeah, we used it, I guess, mostly to send out alerts around really practical information, like here are the latest road closures, here's the updated information about where you can get, you know, sandbags, here's the information around like what's coming with the weather. So we, you know, and roundups as well. So we'd say, here's the latest news, like click here to read that. And I don't know that we really thought about like, hey, that's the unique way to use it. I've kind of come to that realization afterward, but getting the responses back from people to say like, this is actually how I'm consuming my news. I can't, you know, my power's out. So I'm just looking at it on my phone. I mean, that's been a powerful lesson to me, just the importance of that kind of tool to this type of a news story.
Yeah. You know, Chris, you have a pretty classic journalism resume, you know, kind of regional paper, kind of honing your craft and in different stops. How different is it working for Lookout Santa Cruz, either in the kind of reporting you do or the form that that reporting ends up finding, you know, via text messages or newsletters or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's definitely new. I mean, we're in a moment right now where, you know, you have to look towards new formats, and it was definitely different for me. I came from an alt weekly and then, you know, a more kind of classic City Hall reporting gig before that. And yeah, you know, I think we're all just trying to find what works right now, and you know, getting this recognition, and but also just over the last year and a half that I've been here, just seeing the community response. I mean, you can tell that it's really working, and that's kind of validation enough for me to know that, you know, it doesn't have to be that, be at a legacy newspaper or legacy news organization, or even just like a legacy format. You know, it's really about informing the community and telling the community's story. And we're finding that there's a lot of ways to do that and a lot of ways to get information out too. So it's been a learning experience, but mostly it's been, it's been great. And just trying to move forward in what is a difficult moment in the industry, but you know.
Yeah, for sure. We picked a great time to go into this, Chris. You know, having worked as a classic City Hall reporter, I mean, how do you see that form of coverage for the county? Can a place like Lookout Santa Cruz fill that void? Is that the a gap that a digital startup should try to fill?
You know, I think we find that our bread and butter is, you know, we break news. That's really important. And then we kind of go a little deeper than maybe the classic, just like kind of horse race reporting at from City Hall. And, you know, obviously, if something big happens at a meeting, we are getting that news out that night or the next morning, sending out newsletters. But I think the digital, this kind of digital only space allows us to maybe take a second to think about how can we turn this maybe day one story into a day two story on the first swing. Mm-hmm. And it gives us a little more time and flexibility to do that, too.
We're talking with the staff of Lookout Santa Cruz, which just won the Pulitzer Prize in breaking news, joined by Christopher Neely, correspondent, managing editor Tamsin McMahon, and Ken Doctor, CEO and founder of Lookout Santa Cruz. We want to hear from you. Where do you get your local news, and where do you see holes in that local news coverage for your particular area. How about in a breaking news moment, you know, wildfire, power outages, severe weather? Where do you seek out information now that Twitter/X has somewhat collapsed as a space for that? You can give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can email us forum@kqed.org. Ken Doctor, question for you. Listener Rick writes in to say, if small newspapers are being bought up by big hedge fund companies, I can't help but wonder if that's not only because the small newspapers are not getting enough support from the community, from those who can afford to give, but also that those big hedge fund companies are owned by members of the Republican Party who only want to hear what they want to hear as opposed to the truth. When we are talking about in Alden or these other financial yep. players who are buying these places up, talk to me about their motivations. Like, what do you see? Is there money to be wrung from the Santa Cruz Sentinel?
There is. These papers, amazingly, are still profitable with very little staff. They have wrung every expense out of it. There's no physical space. You know, you have a laptop if you're a reporter. So importantly, they're still making money. Alden's private. We don't know how much. Gannett is profitable again. They're the biggest company out there. To the political question, it's a really important question, and it's a good news, bad news one, too. Mostly, these players have been in it for money purely. But we have seen Alden take over editorial pages, like in San Diego when they bought that paper a couple years ago, and turn the editorial page from fairly San Diego liberal to conservative. We've seen what Sinclair has done in TV in the same way. So the motives have been mainly financial. But what we are seeing now is the inroads of what we call pink slime journalism. And pink slime journalism is political players saying, wow, there are vacuums in these cities, and especially in purple states. And if we can pretend to have a news site, and on the web, you can make a site look like news pretty easily and really slant it in favor of, in this case, pink slime, Republican incumbents, Republican talking points. There are now as many pink slime sites, local pink slime sites, as there are newspapers in across America. Wow. So this is happening. And I mean, I wrote about it for years. I always thought that the political people would say, what an opportunity. These properties are cheap. Why don't we buy them and use them as propaganda? And unfortunately, it's finally happening. It took a while to happen, but it is happening today.
Right, because the only thing that sort of differentiates a news website from any other website is just the actual content, right? Like the forum is eminently copyable. It's a WordPress in a lot of cases, right? Yeah.
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 It's a huge difference.
Yeah. We're talking with the staff of Lookout Santa Cruz, just won the Pulitzer Prize in breaking news, joined by CEO and founder Ken Doctor, managing editor Tamsin McMahon, and correspondent Christopher Neely. We're going to talk a little bit about the future of local news after the break, artificial intelligence, the demise of Twitter/X, and where people go for breaking news in this moment. Can give us a call, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org. We'll be back with more right after the break.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about local news with the staff of Lookout Santa Cruz. Just won a Pulitzer Prize in breaking news. Sure to be a slide in every slide deck for digital startup news sites all across the country. Ken Doctor, CEO and founder of Lookout Santa Cruz. Managing editor, Tamsin McMahon. Also joining us, and correspondent, Christopher Neely. Ken, I want to ask you about how you see this moment in breaking news specifically. You know, it used to be that Twitter had a sort of a mass of people, enough, a quorum, that a lot of breaking news events essentially occurred on Twitter with different publications contributing and their reporters contributing to that overarching discussion. It feels to me like that's broken down. But is that an opportunity for places like you, or is it sort of a downside because it's hard for people to discover a new source of breaking news?
No, I think it's a huge opportunity, and shows the folly of just relying on platforms, which we should have learned by now. In Santa Cruz, and Chris and Tamsin both talked about all the ways that we get news out, and one we didn't mention, for instance, was Instagram. So Instagram, now we have about 22,000 followers, biggest news publication by far in Instagram. So Instagram is something that has really raised awareness over the last year. Will that be the same in 2 years? Who knows? So it is a matter of maximizing all these channels. We talk about text, newsletter. We do a lot of in-person. We're doing more and more in-person forums and in our office, in our new space. So you use every means you can, and you have to understand that they're going to change. My theory on the whole thing is, on a zone, you know, our zone is Santa Cruz County, we are flooding the zone with our news. We've got the news. It is well reported, well edited, and then get it out every which way you can. And the inroads keep on moving, and the audience keeps on growing. So that is most important, is to have an audience that you have a direct relationship with and not be reliant on Twitter or anybody else.
Yeah. Tamsin, you know, curious about, within that sort of direct relationship that you have with readers, what are the kind of big areas of coverage that you feel like these are Santa Cruz County stories that we have to own as, you know, Lookout Santa Cruz?
Oh, gosh. I mean, anything local, but I think it's the bread and butter of kind of traditional coverage. So, you know, Chris covers a lot of policy issues. We have big issues around, you know, homelessness and housing affordability, the fentanyl crisis, environmental issues. The storms made that clear, just how vulnerable we were to climate change. I mean, pick any major issue, I think, that's going on across the country or the globe, and it has a local impact. So I think a lot of what we're doing is just really explaining to readers kind of, you know, like how these things are playing out in their communities, and also what's going on, like what's going on at City Hall right now. You know, a lot of places used to have multiple reporters covering local government, and now we're lucky, you know, we have one. So, you know, it's just really about kind of getting that sort of information out there. The other aspect of it too, that Ken has built, is it's not just hard news, right? We have a
just about great, to ask about this.
Yeah. We have a great food writer. We have an excellent arts and culture writer. We have columnists with someone who covers the Santa Cruz wine industry. And it made me realize too, that, like, you know, this is a small business type of community, a place that's built a lot. It's a university town, but there's a lot of tourism as well. And so all of these stories that are about, you know, entrepreneurs doing amazing things in the community, they're also local economic development stories. So in some ways that's our business coverage, is our food of food and drink and arts and culture. So, and it also builds, and people, you know, love to read. They want to know the bad things that are going on and the important things, but they want to read the success stories. They want to know about the new restaurant opening up down the street and who's, you know, the head chef and his story. So I think what Ken has been able to do is really build a well-rounded news outlet that, you know, covers the joys and the sorrows of the community.
Yeah. I mean, Ken, how did you see that balance, you know, of hard, because, you know, like you look at a lot of the local digital startups and they're hitting hard on the investigative side because they feel like that's the way, like they're doing accountability journalism first and foremost.
Yeah. And you can't just do that. I've done that my whole career. I prize it highly. It's really needed in a democracy. Nobody wants to read problem every minute. And look where we live. We live in the most wonderful areas in the world, in the Bay Area and Santa Cruz. And the food scene, is the outdoor scene, culture, that's why we live here. And so you can, it's not a matter of celebrating, it's helping people access it. And of course, Tamsin mentioned Lily, our food writer, Lily Belly, and she is on top of every movement, and people refer to her as often as they refer to Chris. Now, Chris is the expert and the subject matter expert in what his newsletter, for instance, in the public interest. And there are people that read both Chris and Lily, and some of them read either one. And you have to do that. You have to have strong education. We have with Hillary Ojeda, Max Chun covers general assignment. Yeah. All of these things reach different audiences. And so it's not rocket science. This is an old media model. And, you know, I've struggled to come up with a term for what these are. And now I'm just down to kind of simply, this is a community newspaper that happens to be digital. But a community newspaper covers everything. And that's what we're doing.
You know, but there was a thought, at least, Ken, and I think you would be familiar with the strain of thinking, that essentially the news game and the newspaper as a bundle had come apart. And what you're saying is that you think even outside of the physical manifestation of the paper, that those components can be rebundled into a digital service, into a digital product that people, that can be supported via the traditional kind of
Absolutely.
Three legs of the stool of a newspaper.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure of that. I'm sure of it now. We have, you know, entertainment calendars. We have games. We have a lot of people say, like, give us more games, just like New York Times games. And so you do that. And the economics are fascinating, where 75% of our costs are in people. Yeah. This is not ink and paper. So that if you put the money into, and we have a relatively cheap source of really good games, you can do all these things for people, and you are rebundling, but you're rebundling in a different way because everybody's accessing everything on their smartphone.
Mm-hmm. Ken, we know you got to run up to Eugene to found Lookout Eugene. So we will let you go. Ken Doctor, CEO and founder of Lookout Santa Cruz. Congratulations again on the Pulitzer Prize win in breaking news.
Thank you so much.
Tamsin, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the change in coming. You were at the Globe and Mail in Canada and had set up kind of like local coverage there and worked on those things and then, you know, become West Coast Bureau Chief for the Globe and Mail. How do you feel about the kind of bundle that was provided in a big paper like that and what you're doing at Lookout Santa Cruz?
It's fundamentally different. It was I covered the West Coast U.S. for the Globe. And then she said, I moved on to covering managing their local news. It was very paper based. Right. So it was like, here's our British Columbia section. And here's how much with these five ads. And then you need to find three stories that will fit into this so that we can sell these ads. And it was a constant struggle to I think elevate local news in a national newspaper. People, the reporters resisted it in some ways, the top editors resisted it. It was like, your job is to just fill the space and be quiet, to be honest. So to be able to come to a place like Santa Cruz where, like, it's all about local news and everything you do, you're so close to the community. The people that you write about are your neighbors. You see them at the grocery store. You can feel the impact of everything you're writing, and you feel the weight of, like, we have to be responsible as journalists because, you know, we are accountable to this community, and they're going to hold us accountable for what we do in a way that national papers don't really have to do. And for myself, also having been essentially a foreign correspondent in California for a Canadian paper, I could do that kind of fly-in journalism. I could go to the community, you know, find my angle and leave. And this is a fundamentally different type of journalism that we're doing here.
Yeah. You know, another listener writes in to say, congrats on winning one for the little guy and local news. I used to buy the Mercury News, but it's been destroyed by the corporate owner. Now I have to rely on local TV apps, which are crime stories driven. And I wanted to ask you about that specifically. You know, we do notice that across, you know, when I'm looking at local news, there's really an enormous amount of crime stories and long been that way on TV news. What's your approach to dealing with crime in this moment, you know, in our society?
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't have a full-time crime writer. And I think when I came and was discussing, you know, taking the job, I noted, I said, you know, you don't cover a lot of crime here. People had strong opinions on that about being responsible and how you cover it. Because I think, you know, the types of crime stories you see in local news and also in the TV apps you're mentioning, they'll just, you know, they take the press release, they rewrite it, they give it a clickbait headline, and they don't follow it through. So I think there's a feeling of like, we need to follow these stories through. If charges get dropped against somebody, we need to report that. We can't just report on, you know, here's what the police say. So we're figuring that out right now. We started to do some coverage of some court cases. So we're actually taking a case that we covered from the moment that it happened and trying to follow it through to the conclusion. But that's been, I think, probably the most difficult thing for us to figure out is actually how you cover crime in a responsible way in a small community.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, it's a great point you're making that a lot of crime, quote unquote, reporting actually features very little reporting, right? It's usually a police report that has been turned into, you know, some text. You know, another listener, Jerry, writes in to say, you know, I'm a resident of San Mateo and read the San Mateo Daily Journal. They do an outstanding job covering the whole county and are a great community service. They have both a paper and a digital version, but I worry about whether they will survive and hope that they do. Without the Daily Journal, there would be no information or accountability for local government. You know, it's fascinating, too, because you take your, you know, remit as being covering the county. You do get into covering, right, the county commissioners and all the different things that are going on that really are not going to be covered by probably anybody else. Is that right, Tamsin?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a couple, you know, we have the Santa Cruz Sentinel and we have Santa Cruz Locals. So we do cover a bit of county government. But I mean, in Santa Cruz County, we have 4 local governments here and we have an unincorporated county. So we've got a lot of government to cover. And so, I mean, there's tons of stories that really are not. I mean, there's no full time person covering, say, Scotts Valley City Council or Capitola City Council. So there's a ton of, I mean, Chris's newsletter is, I think, in some ways, the weekly update that a lot of people are getting about what's actually happening at local government. Yeah.
This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Chris, when you've got that responsibility on your shoulders of essentially, I'm covering this is what people are going to know about what happened. How do you approach that, knowing that it's, you know, it's not really going to drop into an ecosystem of other reporters who are also covering the same topic?
Yeah, I think that's the big difference between being like a city hall reporter in a place like Austin, where there's like a really big media landscape and you're kind of all chasing the same stories, versus being here. I mean, there's, like Tim Smith was saying, there's a lot more responsibility because you are the person that's bringing this news to, likely the person that's bringing, the only person that's bringing the news to readers. And so, you know, it's really just trying to touch all of the governments, touch all of the agendas best you can. And really, you know, as you stay longer in a community, you get to know what really are the big stories, where to put your focus. But obviously you can't cover it all. So there's a lot of, you know, balancing and weighing and everything. And, you know, we certainly put a lot of emphasis on the county supervisors because that is, you know, countywide and they have a huge budget, and they are the only full-time paid politicians working in the county. You know, all the other city councils are mostly volunteer, you know, they get a stipend, but yeah, it's really just kind of spreading out and just really trying to stay in touch with what's important in each of these communities. And like I was saying before, you know, how the storms affected each part of the county differently. I mean, there really are different issues year round in each part of the county. I mean, Watsonville is very agriculture, rural, you know, with a bustling downtown. And then, you know, you have these kind of wealthy mid-county enclaves. And then, you know, you go up into the, you have Santa Cruz City that, you know, has a lot of political intrigue and a lot of activity happening. And then you go up into these rural areas in the mountains where the issues are just completely different than you would find anywhere else in the county. So it's really just kind of acclimating with what's important in each of these places and trying to tell the stories the best you can.
Yeah. Let's bring in Robert in San Jose. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about a local digital paper that we have here, Spotlight. Mm. And they're very good, especially covering local government, uncovering things like the previous mayor using his private email to conduct business and then not revealing it, not being transparent about it. They expose that and a lot of other different things that are going on, especially in and throughout Silicon Valley. My hat's off to them for the crew that they have. They're out there getting this kind of news. And I also highly respect KQED. I'm formerly unhoused. And okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was just saying thank you on behalf of KQED. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm formerly unhoused. And what a lot of people don't realize is that even though you get housed and try to get your life back together again, you don't have a huge amount of income. I would love to be able to donate to KQED, but I'd just like to give you kudos for what you do. And even when I was living outside in the jungle in very rough conditions, I had a portable radio and I would be very faithful to KQED. I just wish I could do more.
Oh, Robert, I mean, that comment is worth a lot to us. We'll share it with the newsroom, too. I think, you know, we're always thinking about all the different communities that KQED serves, and we're also always thinking about the fact that it is free and it is open for everyone so that people in all kinds of conditions of life can hear what we're doing and hear the news that they need. So thanks so much. That's a very touching call. I wanted to ask you, Tamsin, about the San Jose Spotlight, because there is this kind of emerging ecosystem, right? That has come up of a bunch of these different news places, all of which are trying wildly different things. So what's something you've learned from another kind of digital startup, or you feel like people have learned from you all?
Oh, gosh. I mean, what I've learned, I think, is really just that there are so many different business models out there. And this is a huge period of experimentation. And I feel like, you know, there was one business model of the old way, you know, where you mostly was advertising and the subscriptions were smaller parts of that for print. And now you are seeing, even in our own community, there are multiple small outlets that are employing different business models. And what works for one doesn't work for the other. And so, you know, it's just a learning experience in terms of like what's like you can have complementary difference media outlets in one place. You don't need to just have the one. And, you know, Ken wants to create Lookout as a kind of community newspaper that covers a lot of things. And then we have other mm-hmm. news outlets that really focus more specially on something, on a particular aspect of our community. And we can exist together and it's healthy, friendly competition. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's beneficial. We're mutually beneficial to each other.
Yeah. Just by the numbers, Lookout won the Pulitzer Prize for breaking news reporting with 83 staff stories, 30 email and text alerts, 86 updates to their live blog, and 157 posts on social media. We have been joined by Tamsin McMahon, managing editor of Lookout Santa Cruz. Thank you so much, Tamsin.
Thank you.
As well as Christopher Neely, correspondent with Lookout. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Alexis.
Earlier, we spoke with CEO and founder Ken Doctor. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera.
Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Did you ever wonder what it's like to live alone, hidden in the woods, not speaking to a single soul for 30 years? Or wander the desert, uncover a hidden well, and dive to the bottom of the deepest water hole for 2,000 miles? The Snap Judgment Podcast takes you there with amazing stories told by the people who live them, with an original soundscape that drops you directly into their shoes. Snap Judgment. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.